Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your host for this evening, Daniel Hummer. We're going to be doing Judgment Day 2000. Got a big show, but before we get into all that, I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
And our good friend, Eric.
What's up?
What's up? How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Very good, very good. We got a big show ahead of
us tonight.
Yeah, just the three of us, no Stevie, no Gwyneth. They have prior engagements, but they'll be back with us next week probably. Judgment Day 2000, we got a big show ahead of us, but before that, let's get into some plugs.
Okay, so listen to Boxman Smart, Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. It could be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time, right after wrestling. All right, listen to us, dicks. Well, yes, we are dicks. But listen to us at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time every Friday night, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, obviously Judgment Day 2000 tonight. Next week will be Fantasy Warfare. We'll be booking the Cruiserweight title tournament.
Nice.
The following week.
Interested to see who you pick.
Huh?
I'm interested to see who you pick. You guys pick.
Yeah, I have to find it because I don't remember because I wrote these brackets a year ago.
Oh.
June 4th.
Oh, we've been doing it for a year? Wow.
Yeah. June 4th, we have the New Generation Roster Tier List, Part 2. June 11th will be the Fantasy Winner's Choice. And June 18th, I'm actually really looking forward to this one. We're going to be reviewing the WCW's Great American Bash 1996. And we're doing it basically kind of to tribute Steve Mongo McMichael, who recently was diagnosed with ALS, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease. So. And I've always liked Mongo, so what better way to kind of pay tribute to the guy than to, you know, take a look at his debut match, which actually, you know, a lot of people shit on it, but it didn't suck. It was actually really good, and it was actually a very good pay-per-view.
This is June 18th?
What, Eric? I know you did.
You said June 18th, right?
June 18th. So about four weeks from tonight. And then, you know, there's going to be other ones that we're going to be getting into. Got a packed month for the month of July. Actually, also on June 25th, we're going to be talking Vengeance 05, Batista and Triple H and Hell in a Cell. I know you're looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, big shows ahead for our Friday show. Tomorrow, packed day here at the Everything Unscripted household. First, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., Daniel and I are going to be debuting a new show called the called Unscripted Unlimited. All right. Now, basically what this is going to be a show for nerds, ages 5 and up. So I'll try not to curse too much. But basically we're going to have a toy spotlight, a comic spotlight, cartoon spotlight. Character spotlight among or probably other stuff, right? Or is that like
kind of... it's going to be basically anything me and Doug are into.
Yeah.
You know, and the stuff that has fandoms around that. And there's just a lot of things, you know, maybe really good TV shows at some point.
Yeah. Should we tell them what one of the spotlights is or should we make them wait till tomorrow?
Go ahead, tell them.
All right, so the cartoon spotlight, we're actually going to be talking a little bit of James Bond Jr., a cartoon from 1991, went about 65 episodes. Going to get into that tomorrow. Talk about that. Our character spotlight, I believe, is going to be on Miss Wonder Woman.
Yes. So we're going to be getting into all that tomorrow, and it's going to be a fun time, a nice early morning thing to check into. So
yeah, exactly. Have your donuts, your coffee, maybe a couple of eggs and a sausage. I mean, probably not us, but And then tomorrow night, 7-8-ish.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right. UFC retrospective. Eric, which one are we doing again?
TJ Dillashaw versus Dominic Cruz for the UFC Bantamweight Championship. Undisputed. Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait.
What number is that again?
It's a former champion.
It's a fight night, so it's not a pay-per-view.
Okay.
Fight night in 2015.
Okay.
And Fox.
Looking forward to that's going to be fun to do.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, the Scaredy Cats. What do you guys got lined up?
I honestly don't know. I'll have to let you know.
But you got to listen to Daniel and Mindy for that. Mindy is very insightful when it comes to the horror stuff.
Yeah.
She
told me what we're doing.
That's okay. It usually goes through one ear. See, when she talks to me, it can't really go through one ear and out the other because there's a lot of wax building it up. But, all right, so big things coming up for the podcast. New show coming up. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to be going through a lot of cartoons, a lot of characters, talking a lot of toys.
Little music
as well, movies, basically anything nerd-like.
Anything that can't get you laid, we're going to be talking about. Anti-vagina repellent. That's what we're going to be speaking about tomorrow.
Hey, I happen to be an expert, that's my friend.
If you got cremated, they could sell your ashes as that. Vagina repellent. Nah, I'm just kidding. We're good guys.
No, we're not.
Yeah, but some of us get ass.
Oh. And some of us just are ass. Okay, that's enough of us talking good about ourselves. How about we get into...
Do we have news?
A little bit of news. Dynamite is... AEW Dynamite, by the way, for those of us not keeping score, is moving to TBS in 2022. In August of this year, they're getting a new show called Rampage. But their relationship with TNT is still going to continue because they're going to do 4 quarterly specials a year. Basically,
nice.
All right, so you guys know how like Nitro was kind of like TNT was the home of Nitro.
Yeah.
All right. TBS was the home of the clashes. You know how like they did like 4 a year and then later on it would only be like two a year or something like that? Okay. So basically look at it like this, except for roles are reversed. The main shows are going to be on TBS.
Yeah.
And the specials are going to be on TNT. So basically they're just reversing what WCW did.
Yeah.
It's a good move to have both networks involved.
Yeah, but the TNT championship.
Oh, they're just going to have to...
They're changing it to TBS.
That's stupid.
Or just call it the TV, or just call it a fucking TV title.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. TBS sounds lame.
Yeah.
The ratings aren't going to do well on TBS.
Well, because TBS isn't a wrestling station.
And it's not like a live station.
Not anymore.
They don't do a lot of live. Anything.
I mean, they used to. I mean,
I think it's because of
at one time,
the NHL did with Turner.
And Eric, you'll also remember this too because you're a big baseball guy. You know, back in the,
yeah.
You know, for the longest time, TBS had baseball all the time.
Yeah, the 80s.
Yep. 80s and 90s, and I think early 2000s, right, Eric? When did Turner sell the Braves?
Probably late 2000s. And they started having playoffs a couple of times, like at least 5 years ago. I don't know if they stopped doing that.
Yeah, I think it was back like 10 years ago they would air the baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so TBS has dabbled into like live sports. But lately they've been known more for their comedy.
They're probably trying to get back in the spotlight, too.
So we'll see what happens.
And this is all the – I mean, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, too, because this all has to do with the big merger of Discovery, AT&T, and Warner Media.
Right. Yeah, well, you and I are going to talk about this tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah. Because it all – technically, AEW and DC Entertainment, Batman, Superman, all that, they're all under the same umbrella now.
Yeah.
Warner Media, all of the new Mortal Kombat movie, all that stuff is under AT&T now in Turner. So Turner owns everything. Even though not Turner, but AT&T owns everything, pretty much.
I was going to say, it's like AOL Time Warner, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it still that?
Yeah, but they merged Warner Media with Discovery, which is like Discovery Plus and, you know, the Discovery Channel and all that.
Yeah, Discovery. I mean, I think HBO Max actually has something to do with that too, right?
Yeah, because that's a subsidiary of Warner Bros. So it's all it's basically a big move to get all of them to be a big conglomerate company like Disney so they can compete with Disney.
It really is not a bad thing. You and I are going to talk about it more tomorrow.
Yeah. But it does have something to do with the wrestling aspect, too, because AEW is in all that.
Yeah, which, to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with these with things merging as long as it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's good and it's not good because – then usually there's one paywall for everything you get. Like, you know, WWE's on Peacock now or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get AEW on HBO Max someday or something like that. That'd be fucking cool. But it does suck, too, because everything's such a big conglomerate now.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing, too, and you and I can also get into this more tomorrow. Conan O'Brien, who's called TBS home for 12 years, he's going to HBO Max. So that's kind of like that may have something to do with like
it's all the same company.
Yeah. So that may have something to do with the fact that okay, you know, he's
You want to just press the end button? It's probably showing up on the.
All right. Live radio, folks. Tell me about it. But, yeah, no, I mean, a lot of that has to do, and again, it could be a good move, it could be a bad move. I mean, well, all the moves Disney has made has worked for them.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a good move as long as nothing gets, like, overshadowed or muddled. Because when you have a big conglomerate like that, like maybe there'll be some guys that aren't wrestling guys. Because that was the whole thing with that's what ruined WCW is the AT&T merger anyway, the original one.
Yeah, the AOL Time Warner.
Because guys in the company weren't wrestling guys. So hopefully that's not the case this time.
Yeah, it's suits and tie. And I mean, let's face it, Tony Khan is not a wrestling guy. Well, he's a fan.
I don't think any of AT&T are wrestling. Well, yeah, he's a
fan, but he also knows – he knows what he's doing. To a point. I mean, I'm looking forward to Double or Nothing next Sunday just because I actually think, I mean, there's not a snowball's chance in hell Orange Cassidy is walking out as the World Heavyweight Champion. But.
No.
Actually, they're probably, with the way that fucking show is, they probably will win it. I hate AEW. I know Eric's crying, or his heart's breaking me even saying that. I fucking hate AEW, dude.
I mean, well, yeah, it's just, it's kind of gotten goofy.
I loved it, and this is all wrestling, so we can talk about this, right?
Yeah.
I loved AEW, and I was just on the bandwagon as you were, Eric, and I really cared, but I just feel like everything they promised us was complete bullshit. It's basically another branch off of a WWE show. I don't see much. The wrestling's a little better because you have the high-fly independent shit. But they still do the same wacky sports entertainment bullshit. Orange Cassidy's in the main event, for God's sakes. Like, it's not really
that. Yeah, wacky. I don't agree with that either.
I don't see
I don't really watch it weekly myself, so.
I haven't watched any live wrestling except for Backlash.
I totally disconnected when Omega won the belt.
Yeah.
But let's get on to judgment.
The whole COVID it got me this interest in wrestling altogether. I mean, not totally, but you know what I mean.
So you've never liked it because he's been around
because of the fans and it's not the same.
Who said? Who?
Didn't he say Hulk Hogan?
Who did you say?
I didn't say Hulk Hogan.
All right, who did you say?
No, I was saying this with no fans, and it got me disinterested in wrestling. The product, the current product.
Okay. All right. Can't really think of anything else that, you know, we really need to talk about that we can't just talk about at another time. I mean, Velveteen Dream got released, but the writing was on the wall there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing, because I don't really I don't look into the cases that much for the Me Too stuff or any, and I don't feel like I know enough, especially about that situation, to really talk about it.
Right.
Because that's something that when you talk about sexual assault and stuff, we need to know everything about the situation before we talk about it.
Right, exactly. Thing with Deshaun Watson, too.
Yeah, I don't want to talk unintelligently or ignorantly about something that I don't know about.
Yeah. Well, here's actually something that could be
exactly.
Good.
What?
The same night as Double or Nothing, well, not the same night, it's going to drop earlier in the day, on Peacock is going to be the next Broken Skull Sessions. The guest is going to be the Godfather.
Oh, my God. That'll be cool.
Like, that'll be $10 says they're going to both be smoking a blunt during the show.
Well, he will for sure.
But that'll be fun because I can only imagine the stories the Godfather's got to tell.
He is the man. There's something about him. I just enjoy listening to him talk. Like, I forgot how much I liked him until we saw The Dark Side of the Ring again. For the Brawl for All episode.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot how, like, funny he was.
Right. And he was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Also, another WWE program note for Peacock, and then we can get into Judgment Day. Starting on June the 2nd and running until June 30th will be the top 50 greatest tag teams of all time.
Yeah.
Well, the top 50 greatest WWE tag teams of all time. So they got to use 50 spots. You don't know who's going to end up on there. Because they have 50 spots to fill, more than likely the Body Donnas are getting a spot. So that'll be something else to look for. That'll be something else to look forward to on Peacock. I mean, WWE Network always has good programs.
Yeah, they got good shit. All right, you ready?
Yeah, why not?
All right, fellas. Judgment Day 2000. This is a big event for many reasons. The year 2000 is very interesting to me because that's the Attitude Era, mostly without Austin. You know, it shows up a little bit here and there. But this is obviously when he was going through his injuries and terrible neck problems and stuff. They had to step away. And I don't think they missed a beat. I think they did just as well without him. The Rock and Triple H totally stood up and became stars.
Okay. So you know how you and I were talking about it last night?
Yes.
Like, if you could kind of tier that year, like specifically.
Yeah.
You had Triple H and The Rock working top, right?
Yeah, top baby face, top heel.
Top baby face, top heel. Then on your next level, you have Undertaker, Kane, pretty much, and Mick when he was there.
Yeah, Mick when he was around.
Yeah. I mean, and even you could kind of say, even though he kind of bounced, you know, in and out, Big Show.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And then on the next level, you have Jericho, Benoit, Rikishi, Kurt Angle, Eddie, because he was coming up.
Yeah, all the rising stars.
And then you also have your tag teams on that level, too, because your tag team division here.
Oh my God, Edge and Christian, the Hardys.
The Dudleys. And those were the three top teams, but you could not sleep on TNA, couldn't sleep on Too Cool, you couldn't sleep on the APA.
Even here.
Because if you did sleep on the APA, they'd kill you.
I mean, Road Dogg and X-Pac.
Road Dogg, X-Pac, Al Snow and Steve Blackman for the short time they were together, which was actually fucking... I would not be surprised, although I'm sure a lot of they'll get shit for it. I would not be surprised if Al Snow and Steve Blackman somehow ended up on that top 50.
Yeah, that'd be a hard... If there was a top 10 odd couple teams, I'd put them on.
Yeah.
But top 50 of all time, they never won gold. that ever. I mean, they were some funny backstage segments.
Oh, there was a lot of fucking.
And the Cheesehead stuff. Yeah. That I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't know. But, yes, a stacked roster at this point. For not having Austin, they were pretty. They were stacked. They had some good guys
here. Yeah, and even, like, your lower card guys, you know, the Hollies and Val.
They're all putting on good names. And I wouldn't even call Val, like, lower, well, maybe in 2000, but, I mean, all right, so we got Judgment Day 2000 here, May 21st, 2000, Freedom Hall in Louisville, Kentucky.
By the way, 21 years ago today.
21 years ago today, we had an attendance
oh, wow.
of just under 17,000 people, buy rate of 420,000. So business is hot, obviously. This is an Attitude Era show.
And by the way, got to look at, like, the Monday Night Wars here especially. Raw at this time was doing – they were doing sixes.
Yeah. They were massacring WCW.
Because WCW stopped hitting threes in January of this year – or of that year. Like, they were just doing twos.
Yeah.
Like, their last three – was when Sid Vicious won a WCW title on January 24th of that year. That was the last time they hit three. And then WWF just, I mean, WWF still massacred them that night because they still had like a 6-point something. But the WWF was just like, they were fucking sodomizing them with a rusty fishing knife. It was that bad. And the WCW product, like, WCW had talent. But it's just, unfortunately, they had, so Vince McMahon at this time especially, you know, he's a head honcho, he's calling all the shots, he's got his people with him. This is one of those things where it's like, okay, you have the varsity team and then you have the junior varsity team. But in WCW's case, they weren't junior varsity. They were more peewee.
Yeah. The competition level was like, it was over. It wasn't even a competition anymore.
Yeah.
You had studs. I mean, this period is when WWE just had it figured out. And
because they knew what the people wanted. The people wanted The Rock.
He was the top baby. Especially while, like, Austin wasn't there. And Triple H was a great heel. Great at stepping into that role.
Yeah.
We got kind of a short card, 6 matches, but obviously one of the matches is an hour, so.
Yeah.
Which is the longest match besides that is the tag match. So that's only like 11 minutes. Or no.
Jericho and Benoit is
13-something.
Yeah.
But not too many matches, but this is one of the shows where I genuinely got entertained by every match here.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it too is that, like, each match had a story. And what's funny also is that, like, all except for, like, maybe the one match, like, all the stories kind of intertwined with each other.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, because Edge and Christian and Kurt Angle were kind of working with the McMahon-Helmsley faction, you know, as was obviously Shane because he happened to be a McMahon. You know, Benoit was kind of had, you know, his head up their ass. Obviously, DX.
Yeah, this is when it wasn't stale yet. Either.
Yeah, and the McMahon-Helmsley faction, they had enemies in Too Cool and Rikishi and Big Show and Jericho and the Dudleys and the Rock. So, like, all these guys, like, they had to basically, like, the faction was just like, okay, you know, we got to get rid of all of our enemies here.
Yeah. All right. We start off with Too Cool, Grandmaster Sexay, rest in peace. I mean, he didn't have the nicest things to say about us, but, of course, rest in peace. Rikishi and Scotty Too Hotty against Team ECK. We actually talked about them on our stable tier list. Check that out in the archives, which consisted of Edge, Christian, and Kurt Angle. I'm going to throw it to you. What did you think of Team ECK, Eric? And do you think that they could have had a longer run because these guys were pretty entertaining?
Yeah, they were. I think they could have had a longer run, but the tag team division was so deep that that you learn with other teams that need runs too.
And also, too, this would have been the perfect time, I think, to have six-man tag titles. You know how, like, they had them back in the day, and Texas had them, and WCW had them for a little while.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you see them in, like, Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Because
they got their six-man. Like, you had, like, so many kind of, like, three-man groups or something like that. You could have had, like, a six-man tag title. And these guys probably would have been the perfect ones to hold them.
Yeah.
You know, Edge, Christian, and like, you know, Rikishi, Too Cool, hold it for a while. I mean, because then also you had TNA and Val, you know, they were all managed by Trish.
Yeah.
And you had DX, too, and you had these other teams that kind of, you know, joined up, you know, from time to time. It worked.
Yeah, it would have been cool. I really liked Team ECK. I mean, because they were good goons for Kurt Angle, but they were funny. They were a good segment.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. And you still see clips of what they did here with the banjo stuff, that 5-second pose.
Yeah.
The jug band one.
Yeah.
That's one of the most famous 5-second poses.
Right. And also, too, when Christian's like, here in Louisville.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and JR's just like, that's Louisville for anybody keeping track at home.
Yeah.
Was Louisville very famous wrestling town? Louisville's favorite son, of course, Jim Cornette.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's from Kentucky?
Carlo is Louisville's favorite son. Fuck Jim Cornette.
You know, you're making it harder to get him on the show.
I don't want him on the show. We already have him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You.
Oh, by the way, no, he's talking about me. By the way, I got another former wrestler accepted my friend request on Facebook.
Who?
Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, my God. Didn't we just talk shit about him? Where did we put him?
Do you not want me to try?
You can try. Just tell we didn't put him in mediocre for new generation, Taylor. What were your thoughts on this match? It was a decent opener.
It was a decent opener, and, you know, everybody got their spots in. I mean, everybody always, they popped hard for the stink face, but they also popped hard for the worm.
Yeah. And Kurt taking the stink face was funny.
Yeah.
He was such a douchebag.
Yeah, but
he got the crowd into it, so.
Christian taking the stink face up to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, their face has been up that ass numerous times.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure Rikishi has their faces tattooed on his ass.
Now, the one takeaway I got from this was Rikishi could go, man.
Yeah.
And this was right before his heel turn, really. Not right before, but a little bit before.
Right, he was probably, he had to have been like number four, number five babyface.
Yeah, and he could go, man. He was like very athletic for a big guy.
Yeah.
The way he kind of punched like The Rock, but as a big guy. And I just really enjoyed Rikishi in that match. What were your thoughts, Eric?
I liked it. I've always liked Rikishi. I thought turning heel was, I think, kind of ruined his career after that. I didn't like it. I know it's part of the Austin storyline, but I don't know if they really needed to add him in that storyline. But it was Too Cool. I loved it. They all had chemistry there.
Oh, absolutely. What will we rate this match?
I'm going to rate it a 6.
I'll give it a 6, too.
It was a really good opener.
Yeah. They got the crowd hot. The crowd was hot for this, though.
Yeah, I agree. I would give it a 6 as well. I thought it was a decent opener. It wasn't the best thing on earth, but all, I mean, all three guys on TBCK weren't in their primes yet, obviously, but they could still go. And Scotty Tuhati, I mean, Scott Taylor's a workhorse. And, you know, King's son can do his shit, too.
And you got Hall of Famers in this match. And you go in there.
Yeah. In Keish, right?
In Christian one day, maybe.
I mean, and here's the thing about Too Cool is the fact that Too Cool at this time, they were super over, too.
Yeah.
And what helped get them over, obviously,
keep talking. Holy shit.
All right, make sure we don't get electrocuted.
That's what I'm trying to do. Just keep going.
All right. All right, we got a major malfunction at the junction here, but I'm just going to kind of keep going.
I don't know what the fuck.
Everything okay?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. It's just we got is that cotton candy?
Yeah, it is cotton candy.
All right. Okay, so what the hell are we doing? All right.
Too cool was really over.
All right, Too Cool was really over at this time. And what got them over was the fact, obviously the thing with Rikishi, but also, their work with DX and, teaming with The Rock and Mick. That Raw back at the beginning of February, that's what got them over when they had that 10-man tag.
Yeah.
So definitely, they were definitely over. So you want to move on to the next one, or do you want me to just keep stalling until you can get back over here?
Next match on the card, we had the Radicals going against each other without Benoit, basically. Malenko, Perry Saturn, and Eddie Guerrero. They're fighting over China. Talk about the background of the story a little bit, the vignette.
Okay, so not necessarily fighting over China, but fighting over the European title and fighting over the fact that Dean Malenko and Perry Saturn don't like China. So basically, the night after WrestleMania, China turns on Chris Jericho, sides with Eddie Guerrero because she can't resist his Latino heat. Kirk, you still there?
Rest in peace to both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still here. Quit trapping.
Rest in peace to both China and Eddie.
Absolutely. So, Eddie starts kind of joining up with China, and Dean and Perry were kind of having, they were teaming. They remained a team, but then they started having problems, and then Eddie and China tried to come out and solve things, and then Malenko and Saturn were just like, no, fuck off. And then, there was a vignette beforehand where they got to the building, and Malenko basically said to China, you got to stay out of this. This is between me, Dean, and me, Perry, and Eddie. You have nothing to do with it. And China's just like, oh, yeah, I'll stay out of it. And just starts winking at it. It's like he knew that bitch wasn't going to stay.
And here's the thing, because we watched it. This is my comment about the vignette. Vignette backstage. I love Dane Malenko. I love Perry Saturn. Great wrestlers. Oh, my God, though. Are they dull on the microphone? They could not.
They can't cut a promo.
Like, Eddie and even China had high energy, and Eddie just oozed charisma. And, they almost looked bad compared to him because he's, like, doing his, like, Latino heat and fucking, yeah, maybe, and he's winking at him. She's winking at him. And then they're just sitting there so dry. And I know that's what they're supposed to be, but.
Right.
It's like Eddie really stole that,
Yeah.
Like he was just so great. Like thinking about him, like even back then when he was just a lower card, but mid card.
The Latino heat stuff really helped him.
Yeah. Him and China. And I really like that pairing.
Yeah.
That's one of the more underrated pairings of all time.
Right. Exactly.
Especially when they wrestled, then he got her the teddy bear and everything.
Oh, yeah, for King of the Ring.
Yeah,
which, if you go back and you watch that episode of Raw that's right before King of the Ring, that show was, like, so stacked because they had, like, 9 matches on there. Yeah.
You had nine fucking, because you had to do six King of the Ring things. You know, six King of the Ring qualifiers, or not qualifiers, but King of the Ring first round matches. And then Rock, Kane, and Undertaker all had to wrestle. So, like, you had nine matches on this show, which really was unheard. It's hard to get nine matches in a two-hour show.
Yeah.
All right? Sometimes they can't even do it in 3 hours.
No. And I just remember that match. And because China lost, and she got all sad at Eddie and had the upper lip, like, the pouty lip and stuff.
Yeah.
And then JR's like, Mamacita's not happy. It was so funny. But this match, I thought the work rate for 8 minutes was 8 minutes of pure action. All three guys worked together well. We know that. Probably not the best we've seen from all these guys, but for what it was, I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, with the finish, when China whacked him in the head with the bouquet of roses, but it had the pipe in there,
yeah.
Which actually became their staple for a little bit, but then when they realized that, oh, yeah, we kind of want Eddie to be babyface, they kind of got rid of it.
Yeah.
No, this was a good, it wasn't my favorite match on the show.
No.
But, I mean, I would give it, work rate alone, I'd give it a 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going 7. I thought it was good enough to get a 7. Because there was enough story there. The guys wrestled their asses off like they always do. And it just really clicked for me. And Eddie was just really good here.
Yeah.
What do you think, Eric?
I'll give it a 6. I thought it was an entertaining match for what it was. It could have been longer, but it was good for what it was. I like all three guys. They all worked hard, as usual.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. One of my personal favorites on this show, Big Show, which his gimmick was weird. Not the gimmick, but his catchphrase that he's a big, nasty bastard. That didn't last long, did it?
No, and here's the thing. They were losing their patience with him.
Yeah, it seemed like it was one of those things where it was, like, real on screen. Yeah. Like, Shane shooting at him in the back when he was like, you're lazy, you're all this, you know, you're never going to realize your potential. Like, that's how they felt about him.
Yeah, because the whole thing, which I actually do think he was having knee problems at the time.
Yeah. He was too fat.
Yeah. And, like, they're like, look, dude, you got to lose some weight. And he came back in August, or in July, he was in worse shape than he was when he left.
Yeah.
When he came back and decided.
Yeah.
So where they actually had to bring Undertaker back early from an injury. And not even really an injury, but they were writing him off for a while.
Yeah.
And they were going to do like this big return for him. I think he wasn't supposed to come back till SummerSlam. And they were going to get like a Big Show Undertaker match at SummerSlam or something like that, right? But they were losing their patience with Big Show. And, you know, they brought Undertaker back early. They said, write this fucker off TV. We're sending him to Louisville, to OVW.
When did that happen? Not too long after this, right?
Early August. Because Big Show came back the night after Fully Loaded. And
this is
that's when he sided with Shane.
Yeah.
That's when he sided with Shane, but he was only on, and then they wrote Undertaker off, but he was only gone for 3 weeks because then they wrote Kane off, and everybody was getting written off and then came back on, and it was confused the shit out of me because it's just like, okay, well, this guy's gone for a couple weeks. Now this guy's coming back. Now this guy's gone. Hey, help me out here.
So he's going against Shane McMahon, and Shane McMahon, I think he's universally known as the one McMahon that everybody doesn't hate.
Yeah.
And he's like the nice McMahon. But here, he really perfected that heel role of being a bully.
Yeah.
He's that little snobby rich kid bully. And he's really good at
That face. Like, you want to punch that face.
Yeah. The young Simba stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the king of the jungle and shit. And I really wanted Big Show to win watching this.
Yeah.
Like, I knew what happened, and obviously, it's pretty, I mean,
all you have to say about this match is cinder block.
Yeah.
Pretty much, but for what it was, I really enjoyed what these two did here. And Big Show did look pretty dominant throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, even when all those people were coming out and helking.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that Bo Buchanan was kind of like the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Getting a big push, right?
Yeah.
And the next month at King of the Ring, he jobs to Craig.
Damn.
And I love Craig.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. He does lose it.
He loses in the quarterfinal to the King of the Ring tournament. So his first match of the night, and this is after, you know, this big thing here, and then he got a big win against Jericho on television. They took the boss man away from him because they're like, all right, we're going to push this guy because he had a lot of potential, and he loses to Crash.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know. Well, first of all, God bless Crash Holly.
I'm
not going to say anything bad about Crash. I love Crash Holly.
Yeah. Crash, if he could be the world champion, I'd buy it.
Yes. And what's actually funny, and I'm going to bring this up real quick, then we'll get back to this. There was an issue of the WWF magazine. Edge and Christian were on the cover. And in it was like the top five people you can trust the most and the top five people like that you can't trust.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Crash was number one on that list of people you can trust.
Really?
And it was just like, and like the description under it says, this guy has been picked on by everybody on this roster, but yet he still has a heart of gold. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I love Crash.
Like that. Like, I love him. You know, RIP to him. Unfortunately, we lost him way too soon. Yeah, like that was back like 2003. Like that was, that actually made me cry.
Yeah, it's sad.
Losing him. Because I love Crash Holly.
He was so underrated for what he did. I mean, he was only there for, what, a few years?
Yeah, he was there about 3.5, almost 4 years. And then he went to TNA for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, you know, he passed away.
He made that hardcore title.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's unfortunate. I'm kind of glad we're giving Crash a little bit of a spotlight here, because even though he wasn't on this show.
Yeah.
But, you know, Crash deserves a lot of recognition, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love Crash. What do you think of the Joel Shane match, Eric?
I thought this was a good match. I mean, the right person won because Shane is that heel that you need to win in this kind of match. He kind of had, I mean, he had help, but was still entertaining.
Yeah.
For what it was.
The only criticism I could probably give about this show, because I think Big Show could have won here, because this was a real heel-heavy show.
Yeah.
Too Cool's the only baby faces that won on the night.
Well, I mean, Eddie, kind of.
Yeah.
Eddie was still pretty heel.
I mean, he cheated to win.
I even hit him with a pipe. I think, I mean, Eddie's still, I mean, he was kind of on a babyface kick a little
bit.
He
was turning.
He was turning, but he was still kind of considered heel. And everybody else had
He was over with crowd heel.
Yeah. And all the
in a babyface way.
Talking too.
Yeah. But also, you do have to say, though, that the Dudley boys did kind of come out on top, you know, in the end.
Yeah, they looked good, but they didn't win the match.
Right.
All right, what are we going to give Show and Shane?
I mean, I would give it a 6 because I actually enjoyed what
I
saw.
I gave it a 5.
And a lot of people don't remember him having that theme song, by the way.
Yeah, the rap song? I thought that was weird. Him coming out to the rap.
All right, so do you guys like know the story of why he came out to the rap song?
Well, I know, yeah, I know they did a rap.
So yeah, they did. I don't even remember the name of the album. But earlier in the year, the WWF partnered up with all these hip hop artists.
Yeah.
And the majority of them got something like Ice-T did Godfather, a theme for Godfather.
Yeah, he came out to that a few times.
He came out to that at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Method Man did one for The Rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
Aggression.
Run DMC did DX's theme.
Snoop Dogg did Stone Cold.
Doesn't surprise me.
Snoop Dogg did Stone Cold.
Let's see.
I know everybody on this list.
Gangrel had a rap song? Huh?
Yeah, Gangrel.
Really?
He was doing jobs at this point. As a matter of fact, like, he wasn't even technically around at this point. He was recovering from an injury.
See, Murder did his.
I was just going to... Somebody's got to find this.
It's on Spotify. Good shit, though.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. Gangrel got a rap song.
Are you jealous?
I'm not jealous. I'm just surprised because, like I said, the guy at this point wasn't even on TV. I mean, they took him off TV for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was hurt, but...
David Heath.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. So one of the better pure wrestling matches on this card, Submission Mask, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, you thought very highly of Doug. Why?
These two guys had a really good rivalry. And they knew how well each other, like, if you put them in the ring together, it was magic. And they were both really good submission wrestlers. And here's the thing. This is the third pay-per-view in a row of the two of them working together.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be done because they would have the match at SummerSlam, too.
The infamous ladder match at Royal Rumble.
Yeah. They did a lot of stuff together.
And then they ended up teaming together.
Yeah.
They made the IC title relevant.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. Like, it started to kind of lose its relevancy.
When? Because you went Rock. I mean, that period when it was won by a lot of guys like D'Lo, Val, and all that.
D'Lo and Jeff kind of fighting over it really didn't. When they, you know, had their stuff at SummerSlam.
I like the two belt thing. D'Lo,
yeah.
The European title.
So, like, to me, they kind of, like, it started to lose its luster a little bit, and then China won it. And,
yeah.
But then Jericho got it, and it's just like, all right, well, this is kind of cool. And then Kurt, and then Benoit. And then, go ahead, Eric.
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, Jericho and Benoit, they really did, like Eric said, they elevated that title.
They were amazing. Jericho, still known as probably one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time.
I don't know if they could get a top
50. Yeah, that was one of our questions, wasn't it?
Title thing, but if they did like a top 10, he'd be number one.
Yeah, he definitely. What did you think of this
one? That was one of our questions on Set of the Ring.
Oh, the greatest Intercontinental. Oh, yeah, that's right. And who picked?
I said Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cause Clint
I didn't say Chris Jericho. Daniel said Chris Jericho. Sorry, Daniel.
That's one of the episodes you still lost, though.
Yeah, probably just Boxman fucked me.
I think that's the one I was judge on.
Oh, that's when you fucked me. All right, what are we going to rate this one, guys?
I'd rate it an 8.
Yeah, I give an 8.5.
Really good. And here's the thing. Jericho didn't tap out, so it still made him look strong.
Yeah. He passed.
Exactly.
He did the,
yeah.
So he looked tough.
Which, that actually looked brutal. The fact that, like, you know, because Benoit, like, when he put that on you, like, he's supposed to, like, you're supposed to cover your face or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's, like, he had the hand locked under the chin.
Yeah.
So, like, you could see Jericho turning purple.
Yeah, it looked like it hurt really bad.
Yeah. And by the way, that move does not feel good.
Crossface? No.
Yeah. Like, I've had it put on me, and I've tried to put it on you, and you were just like, no!
Although, one of the wrestling moves that really does hurt, though, the Walls of Jericho can really fucking hurt. someone just bending your back like that and do it like a shoot version of that, it can fucking hurt.
Especially if you had a bad back.
Yeah.
We're not wrestling later.
We're going to wrestle right now.
What?
I'll give it an 8, too. Did you
say
8?
Yeah, I give this an 8.5.
Oh, 8.5. Big fan.
It's my favorite match.
Huh?
I've always liked these kind of matches.
Yeah, it was good. It was good pure wrestling.
It wasn't long, but it was good for what the time they gave.
Yeah, that's all they needed.
It wasn't for the hour-long match.
It
would have got longer.
Yeah, that's not what Attitude Era is known for.
Yeah. Attitude Era is not known for the great wrestling. It's known for the characters and the gimmick matches. Not the gimmick characters, but the gimmick matches.
But this was good wrestling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Big Ten.
It would have been longer if it went for the hour match, but that's the size point.
They would have added like another 5 minutes to it.
Yeah, it could have went 20.
Yeah.
Road Dogg and X-Pac with the lovely Tori.
Lovely.
Goes against the Dudley Boys. Tag team tables match. I believe it's 2 out of 3, right?
So this is back around the time where like a tables match was you had to put both opponents through the table.
Yes.
Now they would change it. Like right after this match, like this is the last time they did it this way.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was weird watching it.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought only one Dudley went through the table and then they called the bell.
Oh, they both did.
No, they both did.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah. No, I really liked this one. I thought it was good tag team hardcore action before the big main event. And I thought for what it was really done well. Maybe the wrong team. I mean, I didn't think, with all the fuck finishes and everything, and this isn't for belts or anything, so why not have the Dudleys win? That was my only critique, because it's a heel-heavy show. I get Shane beating Big Show. I understand that you have to do everything with Triple H at the end, even though as a Rock fan, my blood was boiling. You saw it.
Yeah.
I think the Dudley boys could have won this one, though.
They should have. Oh, because here's the thing. But they lost the rematch at King of the Ring too. And the only positive about that was they got the payoff because they finally put that ugly mutt through the table. Corey was not good looking.
No.
I mean, I've seen
she had a nice ass on green pants.
Yeah.
She did.
I mean,
I'd like it.
Hey, you know what? I'm taking a high road. I'm not going to say my comment. I'm taking a high road.
Good.
Pay off here.
Do you like the tag team of Road Dogg and X-Pac?
Honestly, I mean, they're both great tag team wrestlers. They were fine together. I didn't mind it here. I prefer Road Dogg with Billy. I prefer X-Pac with Kane.
Yeah, me too.
But for what this was...
Was Billy injured at this time?
No, Kane wasn't injured. Wait, that's another thing. Why is Kane on the cover of the show and if he's not on the pay-per-view?
No, like I said Billy.
Oh, Billy Gunn. But Kane's not on it.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, that's a question too.
Injured. He had a torn rotator cuff. But yeah, Kane was on... See, and here's the thing. Kane was actually recovering from a broken hand.
Was he? So he was injured too?
Yeah. I mean, he would come back like a week after this.
Isn't that funny, though? He's the face of the thing. Like he's.
Yeah, I never got it either.
He's the cover art. And he's not.
Yeah, that's why you told me when I asked you if it was on Peacock. He's like, yeah. He goes, you're like, Kane's on the cover. I said, why the fuck is he on the cover? He's not even on the show.
He's right there. I mean, you see it.
I'm booking him right now. But even I was confused.
It's like putting John Cena on the card, on the cover, and he's not even on the card.
I mean, I think they've done that before.
Oh, they've done it plenty of times.
But it doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's supposed to.
Probably didn't have time to change it.
What did we think of this match, boys? What would we rate it?
I'd give it another 6.
I give it 6.
All right, 2 6s and a 7. All right. We got a pretty good card so far. Now it's the creme de la creme, the main event. Can't wait to talk about this one, and then me and Dougie get to watch our UFC fight.
Yeah.
For the show tomorrow.
I have to watch it, too. Oh, you watch it, too. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Swear to God, Eric, if it cuts
afternoon.
Out. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I won't watch UFC tomorrow, then, so you can watch it all day. Or whatever.
I'll watch it when I get home from work.
That's fine. I got other shit to do anyway, so. I won't watch it.
Yeah, we have our own show to do tomorrow morning. But.
I'll be listening.
You're going to be at work.
I'll take my break at 11.
That a boy. I'm proud of you. All right. So,
maybe I'll call in and say hi.
There you go. Anyway, so like about this match, and here's the thing, by the way, the other thing I'm looking forward to tonight about the UFC fight is ordering pizza. But
that sounds good.
Come over.
You might come over for Double or Nothing next week.
Sweet.
All right. Anyway.
So let me introduce the match first. Triple H versus The Rock in an Iron Man match.
Right, Shawn Michaels is a special guest referee.
Yeah, three icons in the same ring.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure Shawn was still fucked up at the time.
Yeah.
Because...
He kind of did look like he did, was.
Well, he had the son, though, already.
He had the son, I'm pretty sure... How old was Cameron at the time?
Because I think he was about 3 or 4 when he, like,
yeah, he
when
was,
they had the conversation.
No, he was born in 2000.
Because he got sober because his little kid came in the room. Or, like, that's the story he tells, right?
No, Rebecca came in the room.
What?
Not the boy.
I thought it was the son.
No, the wife.
What'd she say?
She came in the room because he was asleep in his dinner.
Yeah, and the son was like, Dad, I thought you were sleeping. And he's like, no. And then he's like, I wasn't sleeping, so I knew I had to. It doesn't matter.
Now, I'm pretty sure that was a conversation.
That's another discussion for another day.
I think it was finally in like mid-2001, maybe early 2002, where he finally got his head on his ass. Because actually in 2001,
right before he came back.
Contract.
Yeah.
Like, because they wanted to bring him back, but there was an issue actually between him and Hunter. To where they actually just told him, until you get your head out of your ass, you're staying home.
Exactly. This match really worked for me on all levels. For it being an hour Iron Man match, and I'm very critical of those. I'm sorry, Eric. Shawn and Brett sucked, and I'll...
No, I know.
Fucking grave.
This one was better than the first one. I'll admit that. I can admit that.
I totally agree.
You know what's actually funny? Is I think the two best 60-minute Iron Man matches that they've had, or that were in the WWE, that the WWE, WWF has had, have involved Triple H.
The other one you'd say was with Benoit.
Yeah. I think those are the two, those would be the top two for me.
Did Randy and Cena go an hour or half?
Yeah. No, they went an hour.
That wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad. It was actually, it was kind of entertaining, but like, because they had like Falls Count Anywhere deal and the No Holds Barred and all that. Which actually, you remember the follow-up the next night on Raw? Because we were there.
Yes.
And Kofi Kingston throwing paint on Randy's new car.
Yeah, that was like Kofi's coming out party.
Yeah.
I didn't know they went an hour. Wow.
Yeah, Cena and Randy went an hour at Bragging Rights 2009. I think the two best Iron Man matches... 60-minute Iron Man matches that there have been featured Triple H.
Oh, your favorite wrestler.
I ought to punch you in the dick.
I thought one of the things that made this match really work for me was the amount of pinfalls.
Yeah.
Like, it was a 6-5,
Triple H got a bunch of fucky ones, obviously, but I like how Rock started out strong, and Rock looked like he was going to dictate the pace, but then the cerebral assassin comes in about 15 minutes in, and that's when Triple H is fucking dictating the pace of the match, and he's slowly picking at the Rock. And you have little Rock flurries throughout the whole thing until the end where it seems like Rock's going to win the damn thing.
Right?
Yeah, and then that.
And then Sean fucked him.
Yeah. What's actually funny is I remember we had this on VHS.
Yeah.
Because old neighbors of Bob's taped it for me and gave me the tape. Because this was actually around the time, too, where I actually got Dad back involved in watching wrestling. Yeah. He started to like it again. Because he knew I liked it. He knew you liked it. Yeah. There was a couple of times, like, actually watching this tape, I remember I'm standing, like, right next to the TV. I'm holding you.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm holding you, and then Dad's standing right next to the TV with me. My arm started to get tired, so he took you, past the baby.
That's so cute.
but like that's like kind of a cool memory because that like you know this was actually a good time. You know, in wrestling and, you know, there's basically a family kind of bonded over it. I mean, a family of assholes.
Yeah.
But
where was your sister?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be in a bitch somewhere. No, I'm just kidding. Love Mindy. Great girl.
But getting back to, like, what you were saying about this match was paced perfectly. And obviously Sean did what he did, but I think it was also... You know, Sean and Rock still did not like each other.
They had backstage heat. We've always heard about that, of Sean not liking Rock when he first came in and him and Hunter picking on him and shit.
Yeah, and then, you know, Rock and Triple H had the greatest chemistry.
Yeah, but they hated each other in real life. And both guys have admitted it. They didn't get along until like 2003, 2002. It was always that competitive edge that they always wanted to be better than each other.
Yeah. But I think that really brings out the best in them.
That's what made them so damn good.
And here's the thing, and I told you this last night, because when we were talking about the top 50 teams list that they're going to do.
Yeah.
They have to do a top 50 rivalry list at some point.
Yes.
So, like, if this top 50 greatest thing, like, keeps catching on, you got to get a rivalry thing out of there. And Rock and Triple H is going to be in that top five.
It has to be. And that's the thing. And I mean, my favorite feud is Rock and Austin. I love Rock and Austin. This is almost right there with
you, though. Speaking of that, we have to finish our top 20 rivalries. We need a 10.
I got to find the sheet.
I forgot about that.
We might actually just have to do it over, do like a fan vote or something. We might have to restart from scratch.
We could do that.
Because
it was like months ago.
Where the hell my list went? What, Eric?
I think didn't we do it at end of 2020? I forget.
I think so. But that doesn't really answer the question of where the fuck I put my list.
Oh.
Unless we go back and listen to the episode and one of us is smart enough to write everything down.
I could do that.
Eric, that's why you're the brain to this ugly outfit.
What are we going to rate this? Getting hungry.
I'll give it a 7.
There's no reason not to rate it.
I kind of didn't like the ending. Did he really screw him?
It was a fucky ending.
Well, but it even made sense, too. It made sense.
It made sense.
Because Undertaker looked like a badass. If debut of the American Badass, by the way. We can't gloss over that.
Yeah.
love American Badass more than Wrestler Undertaker.
Exactly. This is the debut of him. This is the first time we see him besides that 98 Raw where he was shooting a little bit.
Right. By the way, here's a story. He almost didn't come back. Kevin Nash was trying to get him to go to WCW.
Thank God he didn't.
Like, it was actually... All right, so late 99, Taker was going to get married to his wife, or his soon-to-be wife at the time, Sarah. Vince didn't want to give him time off. What happened? Oh. Vince didn't want to give him time off. So, and Taker's contract was actually up. So he left.
Wow.
He left. He got married.
Oh, that would have changed.
And during Undertaker's time off, he was contacted by Kevin Nash to go to WCW.
Wow. That would have changed.
They actually wanted him to go to WCW because Sid was going to take time off. And they needed somebody to fill Sid's role.
That would have been that. He was such a company guy, though. He wouldn't.
No, he had no intention on leaving. Like, he called Vince and said, look, you know, they're trying to get me to go. And he's like, huh? And he's like, Vince, they want me to come to Atlanta. He goes, well, do you want to come here? Or do you want to come back here? He goes, yeah. And then, like, they actually decided on, you know, he didn't want to do the dead man thing anymore.
Yeah.
So he actually asked if he could do the American Badass thing.
And it worked.
Yeah. It definitely worked. It worked for as long as they needed it to work.
Yeah. They could have got a couple more years out of it than they did.
Well, here's the thing. He wanted to. He did not want to go back to being the dead man.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, Vince's right hand, or, you know, right testicle man, Bruce Prichard, I say right testicle instead of right hand because that's what Bruce sucks. Bruce basically was adamant and said, no, you have to be the dead man again.
Yeah.
And Taker was like, why? And Bruce was like, I hate the American Badass thing. Like, you know, Bruce is the all fucking mighty. So, Undertaker did not want to go back to being the dead man. He wanted to stick as the American Badass.
Yeah, blame him. All right, I'm giving it a 10. Eric's giving it a what?
I'll give it a 7.
The Iron Man match?
What did you give it?
Him and I gave it a 10.
Oh, I'll give it a 10.
Well, no, I don't want to sway your vote. If you only think it's a 7, then it's a 7.
Yeah, I kind of didn't. The ending kind of ruined it for me.
Okay. Eric gives it a 7.
I mean, and to each their own. I mean, we can.
I like it.
I mean, we can, yeah. But... I mean, it's an
opinion.
And, I still loved it, but the ending kind of ruined it.
Because it was a fuck finish.
Yeah, it was fucky. But it made sense because Shawn Michaels is the devil, so...
Yeah.
About Rock's face when they called it, and Rock even was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it was funny.
And here's the thing, Jerry Lawler, who's supposed to be very pro Triple H and all that, very pro heel, he was confused.
Yeah.
And JR's trying to justify what Sean did, and King's just like, are you kidding? Like, this was stupid.
I mean, it did work, but yeah.
Well, if you guys have a chance, I mean, you and I probably don't have a chance because we got a lot to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
Watch the Raw the next night. Because you'll see...
Yeah, I was going to watch that.
Rock goes on a fucking tear. he actually starts the night beating the shit out of Vince.
Good.
Yeah, like, watch
I'll
that
change mine to an 8, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, watch that next night's Raw because, like, the fallout is just the whole, and then you'll get to see Sean's interview and Michael Cole basically say, you know, you screwed the Rock. and Sean get all pissed.
That's funny.
Like the woman that he is.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap up here. We're going to give our final thoughts and a rating on the pay-per-view, and then we're going to head home, eat some dinner. All right, Eric, what's your final thought? What would you rate this?
I thought it was a very, very entertaining show for this match show. It wasn't – the Iron kind of dragged it at first, but it picked up. But overall, it was a good, entertaining show. All the matches were good. I gave this pay-per-view a 9 out of 10.
All right, Doug.
I give it a 9 out of 10, too. And here's the thing. Judgment Day is kind of like a forgotten concept.
Yeah.
Okay? They debuted it in 08, or not in 08, in 98. But then Over the Edge was kind of like the main pay-per-view that they were going with. But they had to, you know, they had to get rid of the Over the Edge concept because of what happened to Owen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
Like, Judgment Day, here's the thing. Like, they always say, all right, well, Backlash is basically just the end to WrestleMania. But then Judgment Day starts, like, anew.
Yeah.
This, is actually, this one and then 01, I think, are, like, the better Judgment Days.
Yeah.
And
I wish they bring it back.
This pay-per-view, first of all, Rock and Triple H, I don't care if they hated each other or not, this is one of the all-time great rivalries.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Definitely.
And you had, you know, other stars. I mean, a lot of these guys are stars. Yeah. I mean, the majority of them are going to be WWE Hall of Famers, unfortunately.
Everybody on this list, except for one guy that happened to do a terrible act, but... Everybody on this list probably deserves to be Hall of Famers. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Triple H is in the Hall of Fame, even though he married. Oh, that's not the terrible act you're talking about.
All right, I'm going to give it a 9-2. I would think this is a great pay-per-view. I loved it. This is Attitude Era at its finest without Austin. If you want a pay-per-view without Austin, this is a good one to check out.
Here's the thing. You can't really say anything bad about any of 2000s pay-per-views.
No. But this was a really good one.
I think the only one that I could say kind of sucked in the year 2000 was No Mercy when Kurt Angle won the title.
I still like that one, though.
Here's the thing. I like that match. The rest of the pay-per-view. Like, why the fuck do I want to sit through William Regal versus Naked Midian?
I don't know.
Midian was a great character. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up here. This was awesome. We will see everybody next week for what are we doing, Doug?
Fantasy Warfare. It's going to be the Cruiserweight title. I have to find the bracket somewhere. But a lot of big ones coming up. Make sure you listen tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Dan and I are going to have a lot of fun with this show, talking toys, comics, cartoons, little bit of music, doing a character spotlight on Daniel's future wife, whether she knows it or not, Wonder Woman.
Yes.
We will see everybody. I'm giving her the heads up now so she can file a restraining order.
Don't do it, gal. And we will see everyone next week. Have a good one, guys.
Later.
Later.